In the R3 and R4 zoning districts. And then after that, we will have a presentation from senior center staff in terms of preparations for move-in later this year. At the end of that, the council and staff have been invited to take a tour of the construction area just to get an idea of what how it's looking and what's left as they make their final preparation. So with that in mind, we'll take the first topic of the parking lot moratorium. And Mitzi, are you going to lead off on that?
Yes. I'll ask you to just pass these around. I wasn't sure what we would have for technology. I just put together a PowerPoint in paper format.
Thank you.
So we put this on for discussion today, really with the main purpose of getting clarification on what it is the City Council would like to have an interim ordinance on, or basically a moratorium, which would be a prohibition of something, okay? What we've heard is that parking in residential districts can be a conflict and cause concerns. They can be, parking is an interim use at times. Sometimes buildings are torn down and the next use for the property is not yet determined. Parking is established sometimes on those properties. And some of those concerns that we hear from the neighborhood is really that the cumulative impact of modifying properties to add more parking deteriorates the quality of life in that neighborhood, and it changes the character of the neighborhood. If we flip to the next page, we have a defined use for a parking facility. A parking facility is really an independent use of a property. That's the primary use of a property. Okay. There is also accessory parking that serves a use. So let's say somebody's building an apartment building, they'll have parking on site to meet their parking needs. But there may be a situation where you have existing uses that already have parking. I'll pause for a second. Situation where you have an existing use, they have parking, but they own another property adjacent to them that has a building on it. It could be a triplex. Okay, they may wish to tear that down and expand the parking they have. The impact isn't significantly different, depending on who owns it, right? There's still that impact on the neighborhood. What we want to get clarification from the council on is, are you interested in us studying any expansion of parking in these residential neighborhoods in addition to the standalone use as a parking facility, or do you simply wish to have us study the standalone parking facility use when it's not serving any other purpose but really just parking? The standalone use for parking is not permitted in the R1 and R2 zoning districts. It is in the R3 and R4, which you're going to find closer to the downtown, which is where we're hearing more and more of the concerns. Those can be approved at the staff level without any public notice or public review, as long as all the zoning setbacks and the landscaping are all met in the proposed application. Okay. Going to the back here. I'm trying to keep this simple because parking can get really complicated. So I'd love to hear back from the council on whether or not the concern expands beyond simply a parking facility, which is the independent use, or if your concerns include the expansion of existing parking that might be serving other uses.
Personally, I'm looking more at the making a parking lot to make a parking lot. You're tearing down the houses or just putting up surface lots. I know you like to say it's against R1, R2, but I think we have enough of these, starting in the core neighborhoods. We have too much parking that is, houses are being torn down and parking lots built. That's my concern. So I'm looking at you to look at more at the same issue of an individual parking lot being built in an R3, R4.
And I would agree. If we're talking about parking in support of, you know, an adjoining site where parking is needed, that's one thing. But if we're creating parking just for the sake of parking or standalone, that's, I think, what we were more interested in. Others?
Mr. Let me ask, the, what would you define where they took down a single-family home that was not part of the parcel by the Gift of Life House, but then that became part of the parking lot for the Gift of Life House? Would you consider that a new parking lot or an accessory to existing use?
I would actually think we should think of that as an expansion of existing
right.
parking, because it's easy enough for them to go and combine the parcels, the property records,
yeah.
and just treat that as an expansion, okay?
That's my concern, is that opens the door for a lot of properties to be taken out.
Okay, Mr. Hickey?
I just want to make sure we're getting at what we really want to get at. I know this most recent discussion came up from that last house that Mayo took down. And if you take them at their word, they took it down because it was blighted in the sense that there was mold and asbestos that wasn't going to allow them to reuse the building for the purpose they had been using it. So nothing we're doing here would prevent them from taking that house down. It's just if the lot would sit empty as a vacant lot or if they could park on it. So you know, I'm not sure if this would really get at what the concern is.
Okay, Mr. Bildebeck.
Questioning, Missy, why was a house given the permit to be there in the first place if it didn't have adequate parking?
Which house?
When you're talking about like the Gift of Life transplant house, and now you're saying they need expanded parking?
No, I didn't say they needed it. They wish to expand their parking.
Okay, and I guess my question is based on what? If they have enough parking, according to what they're supposed to have, should, and this is not after the Gift of Life transplant house, I just, that was the example that was brought up, could be any place, then why are they wishing to have expanded parking?
That's their own operational decision. I can't answer that for you. I don't know what the justified need is for that.
Okay. Mr. Campion?
I think that's why, so to Councilman Hickey's point, I think you do address it by changing the economics of tearing down a house. Like, if you can't replace it with a surface parking lot to offset that value or the cost for the taxes for that property, I think it changes the economics of just tearing down houses that maybe instead could be rehabilitated, maybe instead could become part of that housing stock we know we need. And I, you know, the second point that Councilmember Fillerback makes, I think we have to talk seriously about all parking down there. I would prefer to see you study it all, because principally we're going to have a very challenging time saying the Gift of Life does or does not need this parking. By the statute we use to judge, is there adequate parking for the use? They had adequate parking. Now, what they're basically coming back is saying, we want more parking. So maybe they're operationally, they prefer to have more. I think it's worth saying whether or not we want to continue to do that, because it wouldn't take much for someone with a single family home to claim down there that they would prefer to have additional parking. Where are we going to draw the line? Unless we start addressing that seriously, I don't know that anything we do here will have an effect, because anyone who is neighboring a lot could build a surface parking lot and claim they're doing it because they would like additional parking. It's just not going to solve the real issue. The real issue here is, and I'm being maybe a Luddite about it, but I prefer to think I'm not, I don't want more surface parking lots down there, right? We have to be strategic about how we're making surface parking available down there. How do we manage this through our process? Let's study that. Let's come up with an answer for that. When we have an answer, we can end the moratorium and start looking at how better to proceed.
And just to underscore that, I think all we were asking fundamentally is whether we should just issue a moratorium just to give ourselves time to look at some of those differences and nuances and so forth. We're not making any decisions per se about parking and where or where it is not permitted. So, Mr. Hickey.
Yeah, what's the time limit on a moratorium?
1 year.
1 year. Okay.
Ms. Means, your comments?
What's the timeline? I'm sorry, I didn't hear it.
You can adopt an interim ordinance for up to 12 months.
What are your thoughts, Ms. Means?
Well, question number one, Gift of Life is blighted and molded. They own the property adjacent to them, and did they need extra space? That they did. I don't see a problem with it, frankly. But, and I know that's not the answer you were expecting, but is it their property? It is an expansion of the parking for their use, is that correct?
That may be a question for the city attorney. If we were to have a moratorium in place in terms of creating additional parking in the R3, R4, but let's say we had a situation where we had a home in significant disrepair and it's in the public's best interest to demolish that, so long as you don't turn it into parking, that would be permissible.
These are two separate issues, actually. The demolition of a building doesn't, by default, become parking.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
if we have a moratorium in place, it couldn't automatically become parking.
Right. It wouldn't stop demolition.
Correct. But they couldn't then demolish it and then say, oh, well, let's turn it into parking.
We can say whatever they want, they can't hear us.
You got the Zamboni competing.
Did I make myself clear? You need me to say it again or what?
I think I understood what you said. You guys all understood her point. She just wants to make
sure.
She wants to make sure everyone heard her point.
Yeah.
Oh.
By saying that I'm in support of issuing a moratorium to give us the time needed to take a look at the accessory use versus standalone parking in the R3, R4. And I don't see any harm in that.
I'm certainly not opposed to a moratorium. I think that when neighbors move in, they expect houses next to them and not parking lots. But in the situation that's referenced, this house had mold and blight. It was just taken down after our director of housing authorized it. And the expansion was to accommodate additional parking for that particular facility. Is that correct? And that, I said, I'm okay with that. But in the future, I support, looking very strongly at not having parking lots next to well-established historical homes.
Michael, yeah, you're going to have them. That's a great venue.
Usually people have too much trouble hearing my only take on this is the reasons that were given to tear down this home would probably apply to every home in every historic neighborhood in Rochester or any other. It's a little bit too convenient to point to things that are readily addressable in the neighborhood and I'm fine with what residents neighbor said where we can simply take the opportunity to do a moratorium and explore the and then work out that difference as part of the moratorium what we are doing.
Sounds like the group generally is okay with including both types of situations.
So what are the mechanics again on a moratorium? So once we get to the end of the 12 months, is this something that can be, I just want to make sure it's really contained. Is this something that we can just indefinitely keep rolling on, or is it absolutely moratorium ends if we don't have permanent legislation? Yeah.
Why don't you come up here,
Terry? Question?
Asking about the mechanics of moratorium. I just want to make sure we're talking about really a 12-month moratorium, not something that's just going to get extended and extended, or there's so the mechanics of it, it truly defines it as 12 months, and then we'd have to have some kind of permanent legislation.
It cannot be extended beyond 1 year.
Perfect.
And by definition, we would be talking about R3, R4 throughout the city, not just in one area.
That's the way I prepared my initial moratorium ordinance.
Okay.
Is that the appropriate way to go about this, or is that over a map the way to go about this?
We can study that and bring it back.
And can we can later change reduce the scope of the moratorium?
Yes.
So I guess starting with all R3 and R4 seems like I'm sure you thought about it. It seems like a reasonable approach to me.
But planning mentioned that those are the two zoning districts that you're most concerned about because it's not a permitted use in the other ones. Well, that's when we are taking the standalone approach. We assume your purpose was to prevent parking lot or homes being demolished and replaced with a standalone surface parking lot. Mitzi's bringing up the accessory issue, which is not what was part of the initial ordinance that I drafted. And I need to know whether you want to expand it to include that or not, because we need two documents. We need an ordinance that actually puts the moratorium in place. We need a resolution that authorizes a study of the issue. You can't do one without the other.
And what are the side effects of doing all R3 and all R4? This isn't going to prohibit in any way apartment use from having a parking lot, correct?
Correct, but it would prohibit them from expanding an existing parking lot during the time of the study.
All right. That seems like a reasonable exchange for what we're trying to do.
So it sounds like we're leading up to two RCAs that would come to the council?
Yes. Have you decided on the scope?
Yes.
Accessory and standalone?
Yes.
Expansion of accessory use and a standalone.
Right.
Yes, there will be two RCAs. One is the actual moratorium ordinance. The other one is a resolution calling on the city administrator, planning department, and the city attorney to study this issue. And you must take action by 1 year or sooner.
All right.
How long do you think it will take? 1 year? 11 months and 29 days, right?
Hopefully a lot less.
Okay.
Okay? Shoot for 6 months.
Yeah, I'd like to have it. I think it makes sense to do this as a precaution because we see it happening, but I would prefer to solve it in an expedited fashion rather than leave, even for a full year seems onerous. So.
Mr. Mayor?
Currently we have an ordinance for this kind of thing. I heard you say once the interim ordinance.
Interim and moratorium are one and the same. We have no ordinance in place addressing the demolition of a single-family house and its replacement with a surface parking.
I want to make clear that the council understands this does not prohibit the demolition of buildings.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. All right.
Thank you.
Good. All right. Thank you. All right, Sally. Now your chance to be heard over the Zamboni.
Yeah.
Are you going to be giving the presentation here?
Yes.
Perfect.
We'll try to talk really loud for everybody in the house. This is just a little program I'm going to have Beth Quinn come forward. She's going to actually be doing the presentation. I've got another presentation tonight.
we change from where the current center is to transitioning over to this brand new facility. So as you know, the Senior Center, which has always been referred to as the Rochester Senior Center or Senior Citizen Services Inc., has transitioned to be called and referred to as 125 Live as we move into the new facility. And part of the naming process and the visioning process bodes well into the revised operating model. As the Senior Center was evaluating this project and looking to go into partnership with the City of Rochester, it was a lot of research done, and what do the baby boomers want to do as they age? How can we help contribute to them aging successfully? And it was apparent that a lot of the naming and how you approach the programming impacts the participation and impacts individuals' pleasure in aging gracefully. And so that is how we came about to the 125 Live. In addition, in order for the Senior Center to be successful in the new center, as you all know, the facility was being built in a partnership with the city through the tax referendum of 2012, or that sales tax base. But the center is now responsible for covering its own operational costs. And so it was imperative that they took a new approach in how they would operate going into the future. Although the Senior Center will continue to operate as its own nonprofit, there's new approaches into the programming and the revenue sources that they will be taking. So as we touched on before, we're getting the new building and the new amenities, and with that is coming our new name of 125 Live. And a lot of research, a whole branding committee went into developing that name, and the goal was to find something that was more unique, that was ageless, and didn't really give individuals that senior stigma. A component of our operating model will be to have a revenue source from facility rentals, and it's a lot easier to market to a bride to come and rent the club room during non-senior usage times, referring to a facility as 125 Live versus maybe more of a senior center. So we kind of took that into consideration as we looked to remove that senior stigma. And probably more importantly, too, as the baby boomers do age, there's not necessarily that likelihood that they want to be referred to as a senior. They like to be called active aging and aging adults. So that's a little history on how we became 125 Live, the Center for Active Adults. The whole visioning process also was taken into consideration. They wanted the staff, the board, and individuals involved really were looking to enrich the active community. One of the components that were missing in the existing facility were active spaces. A lot of the spaces limited the programming that could be provided, the opportunities that could be provided within the current center. The new center will allow many different opportunities, both active and more passive, but to really engage the broader community under one roof, which brought us to the overall mission of enriching the lives of older adults. As I mentioned a little bit in the introduction, a whole thought process has gone into having 125 Live be sustainable in the long run. And so three components that have really taken some consideration and been revised to some extent are the staffing model, evaluation of the revenue sources to be sustainable in the future, and then also enhancing the community partnership. So to start with, I want to share a little bit on the staffing. Sally has always ran the facility with the board's support on pretty lean staff. And with the enhancements of the facilities and the operations, it was apparent that we would need to bring in not only additional employees to help with the operations, but individuals that have more specialized expertise in both the programming aspects, working with seniors, and overall operations. And so we're pleased to say that we've hired a new program manager, Nicole Minton. She is in the back here with us today. She started mid-August and comes with over 16 years of recreation program experience and a lot of experience not only in programming but therapeutic recreation, special events, and also working with seniors. She will oversee many of the programming, the program umbrella of 125 Live, oversee the volunteer coordinator and the volunteers working within the center, and really be the leader in some of our program brochure and ensuring that there's something for everyone that is offered within the center. A second key individual that was recently hired is Ken. He is our aquatics and fitness coordinator, and he hasn't officially started, but was kind enough to come and join us today. Ken, do you want to stand up? There you are. He comes to us from Charterhouse with years of experience in actual fitness programming. finance manager, and he's standing right in the back. He has years of experience in the financial side of the Mayo Clinic, and so it has taken over for Cindy Sunblock, who retired after 42 years with the center. And so he's just getting his feet wet, kind of transitioning the processes and preparing to move into a larger scope operation. Two positions that we haven't yet hired for are the membership and marketing coordinator, who we hope to fill that position in the spring. In the interim, the staff are working and collaborating on those efforts just until we kind of get our revenue sources going and get fully into our building. And then we are hiring currently a facilities coordinator. That will be a part-time role to lead the cleaning aspects and the facility management of the facility portion that 1255 is responsible for. So we're very excited to have these individuals on staff and get more of our part-time front membership services staff on board and our volunteers working at the new center. The sources of revenue. That was another key point in the planning process of 125 Live and creating future sustainability. And we really kind of broke it down into four pillars. And the first, probably largest pillar of revenue will be the membership model. And I'll get into that here in a moment. The second pillar will be our room rental revenue. The third would be programming, and our fourth would be our community sponsorships and grant opportunities. So as we evaluated going into the transition from our current center and what the membership model is to a larger scope facility as 125 Live, we really reviewed what would work best and trying to make sure that it was a smooth transition for our existing members, but yet creating opportunities for those who maybe haven't experienced the senior center as it is now and to create interest within the community. Again, it was taken into consideration the new amenities as well. We have never had a fitness and wellness component of the existing senior center. With all of that being said, it has we broke it down into four membership options. We have a social membership, a fitness membership, a social and fit membership, so if you wanted both amenities, and then also a community fitness membership. I did put on the table here and can pass them around to the audience as well, but a full membership brochure that has a lot of these details and information too, so I welcome everyone to take one of those before they leave. So when you think about what the social membership is and what it will provide at 125 Live, it's similar to what we have now as just our membership at the Senior Center. It's an opportunity for individuals to come in, to participate in some card playing, to shoot pool in the billiards room. There'll be open ceramics time, open art studio time. Different kind of more generalized programming will all be under the social membership umbrella. Some of the great amenities that will be new at the new center will be that convenient parking that is now accessible for all of our participants, and more support services. And I'll get into that as we move on in the presentation. We are providing our social members opportunities to have reduced fees for some of our special events and more specialized programming that require registrations. They would get priority booking and discounted fees for personal care services. So whether they're doing foot care, there will be a salon with limited services, so think of hair setting and coloring. And they could also get discounted facility rental space. The social membership also includes gym usage such as playing pickleball, playing volleyball, getting involved in the new basketball group would be all a part of social membership. The fitness membership is kind of a little bit self-explanatory, but includes those fitness amenities, utilizing the fitness center, participating in the group fitness classes, having an opportunity to receive an orientation on the fitness equipment, usage of the pool, both the therapy pool or lap swimming, and then again, the gym activities as well. And essentially, the social and fit membership basically combines both of those amenities into one membership. So it's kind of your everything that you would want to do within 125 Live and in partnership with the Rec Center is in the social and fit membership. A community membership or a community fitness membership was developed to really kind of acquire some membership, again, thinking of our sustainability and revenue sources in the long term, and is a membership model designed for individuals who maybe don't need a lot of frills that are just looking for a place to have the fitness component and work out. And so it will be available for individuals ages 18 to 49 during designated usage hours, and we've listed those hours on the back page of that membership brochure as well. And so what we did was we took into consideration the seniors or the active aging not necessarily wanting to be exercising with an 18-year-old or 19-year-old per se, but knowing too that our aging population probably aren't going to be the ones necessarily using the center in the evenings or maybe super early in the morning. And so kind of designating specific times and allowing the community at large to have an opportunity to use the fitness amenities at 125 Live. Another component of developing our membership model for 125 Live was considering what are the other facilities that are similar to what 125 Live will offer. What are they charging and who are they serving in their membership model? This gives you just a brief breakdown of the YMCA, Shorewood, Silvercrest, the RAC Center, Rochester Athletic Club, and Edge Fitness. And what are their age stipulations to be considered a senior? What are they charging for their monthly memberships, both single, dual, and single adult? And so we took that information as well as what the registration fee is. A lot of memberships, in order to sign up, you do a nominal administration fee or registration fee, depending on the facility, what they refer to it. Some aren't as nominal as others, and we compared it to where do we want to be and how do we want to fit in the market. And so you can see how that broke down. For the 125 Live, for our administration or registration fee, it will be $20 as compared to the local facility. So what does that all mean? So we broke it down into our memberships and our membership fees, taking into consideration what the other local facilities are providing and what we want to provide to our users and participants within 125 Live. Our memberships to be considered for a senior membership are for ages 50 and older. You'll note that the social membership is 50 plus, but if you're over the age of 90, we're going to continue the tradition of offering a complimentary membership. You can sign up as a single member or a dual member, and same for all the different levels of membership. The fitness membership, again, 50 to 89, but we will provide it half price for our individuals 90 and older. Should you decide to do a pay your membership in full, you would receive a 10% discount, which is noted in the value on the presentation and in the membership brochure. There's the social and fit membership, which is basically the all-inclusive membership or a gold membership per se, and then the community fitness member. If you want to just come in, use the fitness amenities as more of a bystander, you're not quite considered a senior or the active aging participant. And we feel confident that those will sit well as compared to the other facilities. Another thing to mention that we will have partnerships with all of the local or the Minnesota health insurance companies, that they provide the frequent fitness visits. So if you come 12 times a month, you would receive the $20 credit. We also have a relationship with both the Silver Sneakers and the Silver and Fit program, which provides fitness memberships at various levels, depending on the individual's health insurance coverage. So there's a lot of opportunity to become very inclusive at 125 Live. So I know that there's been a lot of talk on how does the new membership fees break down in comparison to what members are currently paying. And this is about the most simplistic way to put it. The current members currently are paying approximately $70 a month for their membership.
A year.
In addition to paying $50 a year for parking. So they've always done more of an annual membership approach, which breaks down to about $10 a month. I should tell you, too, that in the current setup at the center, there's a lot of a la carte fees. So though they pay $10 a month for membership, they also, when they go into billiards, pay $3 to $5 to play that day. And there's kind of like a on your honor kind of throw the money in the box. Fees assessed at different activity groups, same with square dancing because there's a taller fee involved, so they pay $4 a visit. So as we evaluated what the membership fees and what the facility fees or participation fees were, that's how we came to our social membership of $20 a month. We want to get away from essentially nickel and diming every participant. We wanted it to be all-encompassing. They come in, they can go to billiards, they can go to square dancing, and they're not going to be paying additional fees time. So though it may look like a $10 increase a month, there's many groups and participants where it's actually going to be a cost savings with the new membership model. 125 Live a try. You know, we have many participants who have been at the existing senior center for many, many years, and change is hard, and it's scary, and it's uncertain. They're not sure how this will work as they move over. So in order to really accommodate our existing members, we had done a prorated membership fee for 2015 so that it would end now as of September 1st, or we're closing as of Thursday, September 15th. And then transitioning them into the new center, they wouldn't have to pay that admission fee or the registration fee of $20. They are going to receive a 50% discount for their first six months of membership at 125 Live to really entice them to come in and give it a try, because we know that once they come in and participate, they're going to love it. They're going to love the new facility and all of the amenities. We will be having an open house for our existing members the last week of October, as well as giving all of our existing members a couple of guest passes so that they can invite their friends, family, to come and participate, and then also receiving a 125 Live branded item. The third source of revenue, or the second source, would be our programming source. And what the community can expect within 125 Live is not only the enhanced amenities, but also our expanded program offerings. We are transitioning to more of a quarterly approach of our programming model, and so there goes in a lot more planning and foresight into each season and what are the programs that are going to be offered to the participants and the community at large. Although there's discounts on some of the programs for being a member, and some of the programs there would be a fee if you're a member, all of the programs will be available to the community at the non-member rate. So really trying to engage everyone to come into 125 Live. We'll also be taking on special initiatives and working with local partners on our various issues that face the older adults as they age, and create a platform of opportunities for the older adults to stay involved and give back to the younger generations through various intergenerational program and volunteer opportunities. In order to kind of reach this goal, we've set up more of a programmatic approach and a pyramid to kind of break it down and how we're going to get to our ultimate goal. And though we have a great start, we're excited to see what 2017 is going to bring with regards to some of our more enhanced programming and additional program offerings. But this kind of gives you a nice overview of exactly what I just said in our programmatic approach. So the base of our pyramid really looks at enhancing the existing programs, and those were kind of the programs I mentioned earlier that are included essentially with the social membership, and enhancing those. So offering more learning opportunities, whether it be learning how to use the pottery wheel and do pottery, which is a new program that we've never had at the senior center. Enhanced dancing and classes and different ceramic and opportunities to just really socialize and engage. Just the new facility alone will create enhancements to all of these programs. We will have the hearing technology in all of the meeting spaces, which for those of you who maybe aren't familiar with it, it provides individuals with hearing aid an opportunity to essentially Bluetooth in a speaker and hear firsthand what, for example, what I am saying versus all the exterior noise that they're holding here, whatever it is. It brings it right into your ear. So it's a huge plus for the aging population. We have a lot of ample and well-marked parking, and just the overall facility with the more meeting spaces provides more opportunities. We're excited to also engage the seniors in utilizing the new amenities such as the warm water pool, the teaching kitchen, the cafe, just the lounge areas and the socialization spaces as well will be part of the successful aging. When it comes to more of the wellness and keeping everybody engaged and active, there's some areas of focus that we're working with our community partners on, and those are kind of listed above there, but really linking individuals that are suffering from more age-related illnesses or are a caregiver to someone who's suffering an age-related illness. That's a lot of our health resources that focus that we're going to have on balance and mobility, maintaining independence, the offsetting of dementia and Alzheimer's. That gives you a great overview of the focus area of both Nicole and Ken's programming as we move forward. The other component of the programming model is really enhancing partnership and relationship as they go through their change of residency and learning firsthand from a senior in our community. So we had our pairing event today, which was really successful. We had about 15 individuals volunteer for that program within our senior center, and we'll be working with those male residents over the next 4 years. We're also working with ONC and Mayo Clinic and the Falls Prevention Coalition on hosting a Falls Prevention Clinic right within 125Y for individuals to get assessed on various issues that may be impacting their balance and their mobility, and giving them really the tools to move forward to correct those. So that's just a high-level overview of some of the community partners that we've really engaged within Rochester and the surrounding area to ensure that we have the resources for the seniors. The overall goal and the reason we're really working hard to partner with them is that 125Y wants to be the hub for senior resources within the community. Whether the individual is a member or a non-member, we often have our representative from the Elder Network for Support Services on site. I mentioned the Falls Education Program and the Senior Sages Program. So there's a lot of different ways to engage seniors and to help them as they age. Another component that one of our goals, I should say, for 2017 is really enhancing the intergenerational programming, not only on site with whether it be a teaching, kitchen cooking class with grandma and granddad or grandson or whatever it is, but then also having the seniors be out in the community, volunteering at the schools and really partnering with the local groups in creating those intergenerational relationships. Our third source of revenue is really looking at our facility rentals and what that entails and what that's going to mean for the future. And so what we really have in the works and our marketing to the community is that the 125Y rooms will be a great destination for whether it be a small business meeting or a large business meeting. There will be banquet opportunities, small wedding receptions if you rent the club rooms, holiday parties, really anything that you want, a nice, accessible, state-of-the-art facility. There will be opportunities to do so at 125Y. All of the facility spaces, as you know, will be brand new, and so they're up to date with all of the Wi-Fi technology, the projectors, screens and sound systems and surround systems would be available, and really an ideal space for whatever gathering an individual may have. As we approached renting the different facility spaces, we really took a three-tier approach with regards to rate development and are marketing it that way. And so the tier one, which would be the less expensive or least expensive option, would be the discounted rates for our members, a Rochester nonprofit, and our business partners that have supported 125Y. Tier two rates are designed for Rochester-based businesses and Rochester residents, and then the tier three rates would be if they're a non-Rochester affiliated organization or a non-Rochester resident. And so each room has got fees established based on their size and their the capacity of individuals that will be utilizing that space. Our last pillar of revenue that will keep 125Y sustainable in the future would be our community sponsorships. As we approached this topic, we talked about different ways that organizations have supported the senior center in the past and how we envision that to be in the future. And so one of those key areas is just our newsletter and web advertising, and that we will continue to do moving into the future by having sponsors for our quarterly newsletter, which will go out four times a year, different ad sizes, different fees affiliated with each ad. In addition, they reap other marketing benefits. Another key source within our community sponsorship is a programmatic partner, and allowing organizations, whether they be financial advisors, funeral planners, different resources that come to the center now and want to provide a service to the seniors or to provide a seminar, would pay a nominal fee to do so, and then we would market their program and their organization in our newsletter on our webpage as a program partner. A third way to sponsor or support the 125Y as a community sponsorship would be being a business partner. This has come up frequently with organizations that maybe don't have a need for using 125Y, but they want to support our mission, they support what we're doing. And so it's just paying a nominal annual fee, but then having an opportunity to network with other business owners to be recognized as a supporter of 125 Live and its mission as they move forward. And also they would receive discounted rental rates on the facility space should they decide to bring their team in or do a special event at 125 Live. And lastly would be being a special event sponsor. We have various levels to be sponsors of our special events, whether it be the Hole in One event or a holiday event or even just a monthly pianist and happy hour. There will be opportunities for individuals to be a part of it. And so we feel confident that there's something for everyone within the business community of Rochester and the surrounding area to support 125 Live and it moves forward. It is 125 Live, or the Senior Center has always relied heavily on grants and donations, and we anticipate, you know, being able to adjust our operating model and our pricing model to really meet our own expenditures, but we'll also still continue to apply for those grants as we move forward. Those just kind of break down a little bit. So lastly, I know we're giving you guys a lot of information, but we wanted to cover it all. We haven't had the opportunity to get in front of you yet, but we wanted to provide a nice update on the capital campaign, and I know that there's a lot of capital campaigns going on in Rochester right now, which is a positive in the growing community, but also it hinders other people's success in raising funds to some extent. So we wanted to give you a brief overview of the capital campaign to date. And so many of you know that our overall goal was to raise $2.3 million, and that was going to be the ultimate, right? We get the woodworking shop right away, we have the canopy on the front entrance. There was a lot of kind of extras that would have been able to be done immediately had we raised $2.3 million. We had become aware that maybe that was not going to quite come to fruition right now, and so there was a number established that would be, what do we need to move into the center? What are the necessities in order to really operate and provide great opportunities within the 125 Live facility as we transition? And that number came to be $1.6 million. For our furniture, fixtures, and goods. So a couple of noteworthy items, like right now for the number in our last newsletter and information I think that was out is that we are at 1.1 million, a little bit over. But a couple of notes to make noteworthy with regards to our capital campaign to date. In the spring, we sold the Senior Center parking lot, which was always planned, for the amount of $600,000 to the city of Rochester. We in turn had given that money towards the contingency fund of the construction budget. As many of you know, at the beginning of the construction process, there was a lot of unexpected expenses with asbestos cleanup and cleaning up the site. So the Senior Center Board agreed to contribute $600,000 to the contingency fund to keep the project moving forward. A couple other things, we submitted for $450,000 into local foundations and donors for grants and have received $225,000. We've been very fortunate to receive monies from the Bremer Foundation and Mayo Clinic and a couple other larger based boards, but they are tapped out, so there's a lot of need out in this community and a lot of requests. So we were a little underfunded than what we expected in those areas. We were fortunate enough to receive a $95,000 state gift and also have received $206,000 in cash donations. And so with all that being said, it's we're a little short so far on our operational phase and planning phase. We are very excited to be moving into 125 Live, and we'll be opening the doors hopefully on November 1st, provided everything goes well here in the next few weeks. We have some equipment, our furniture arriving at the end of September, our fitness equipment coming the first week of October. The staff should be readily available, or will begin working, I should say, to state their desks and computer systems should be ready to go by October 10th. And we're looking forward to spending the last week of October really giving an opportunity for the community to come in, our business partners, and our new existing members and our new members to come in and really see 125 Live through some different open house and tour opportunities. So that is where we are at to date. Does anybody have any questions or?
Any questions for Sally or Beth? I think we're all excited to see the finished product. This has been a long time coming and something that's been very talked about a great deal in our community and a lot of excitement. So we are anxious to see it as well.
Would you address the vendor or whomever you have for the cafeteria?
Oh, so yes, Sandra's asking about our cafe vendor. And unfortunately, this is not public knowledge yet, so it needs to be discussed at our finance level on Wednesday. So, but we will have the opportunity. We have a whole area that's designed as a cafe, again, and that's a part of our model to be a more of a community organization, to integrate community into the facility, and to have a very key presence of individuals coming in and out of the facility to really focus on healthy aging. Research shows that older adults that are integrated into their community actually do much better and they age better. So that cafe connected, the rec center connected, all of this really going to improve aging and intergenerational. We can see I guess you can't really see the school, but it's close, maybe when the trees are done. But you know, that's another opportunity of intergenerational, having after-school mentoring here, lots of opportunity for intergenerational opportunities as we kind of get going.
All right, anyone else? All right, that to conclude our meeting today, what the council and staff will do, there's no other business that will be conducted. We'll have a tour. Now, as I understand it, Sally, you're not quite set up for public tours yet.
No, no public touring, just
plus,
the council.
There's some, still some areas under construction, so we are aware of liability concerns. So.
Yes,